too busy talking to do talk radio, man.
But I want to talk about Jim Jones.
Freedom Fiends, close enough for government work. This is the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting live worldwide from Intergalactic Prairie Studios, a mile above sea level. We alter your locus really right, warming your synapses with rejuvenated radio waves. This brings your amygdala to a tasty and toasty 3,500 degrees Kelvin to incinerate all of your cares.
Yep.
Can you feel it? Jim Babb and Jesus.
Jim Jesus
says he doesn't have an alcohol problem, but I think he will by a few years on this show. You know, I put a fatwa on Christopher Cantwell today.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. I'm gonna drive him to put his gun in his mouth and kill himself, and then I'm literally going to bury him. I'm gonna fly to New Hampshire and bury him. And a fatwa is just it's not necessarily a, you know, like, it can be this person should be killed, but I don't think he should be killed. I just think he will kill himself if we keep hammering at him. But a fatwa is just a political, I mean, it's just a legal opinion.
You said a fatwad? What?
Fatwad. Yeah, it's a legal opinion by a cleric, and that's me. I'm the cleric of the Freedom Fiends, so.
It sounds a little mean-spirited to me. I'd like to see us rise above that type of thing.
You don't have to be involved. You could. Jim Jesus is going to take Cantwell to his first AA meeting, so all good. It'll save his life.
As soon as you can pry him away from the rightstuff.biz's podcast, which was absolutely terrible. Terrible. Like, I don't think he even understood what he was doing on that show.
Well, you know, the false concept of scientific racism was pretty popular in the days of Hitler, but it's kind of gone out of favor, but I think Cantwell's bringing it back.
Yeah.
There's like thousands of people listening right now who are like, Cantwell, who is that? I don't know who that is. You don't need to know, man.
He's just this guy, you know.
We're here to rock your world. We're going to talk about marijuana. I do not smoke it, but I'm all quitter for it being legal. Yeah. So yeah. James Babb, you got. Let's talk about what just fell from the sky. I read this one today, and I was like, ugh. And they called 911. A 23-pound package of marijuana falls through family's roof, crushes doghouse, and the husband tells the wife to call 911, and he does. Like, okay, I don't know. How much is 23 pounds worth of marijuana worth?
The article said $10,000, but I think it was like that, like, real crappy Mexican brickweed stuff.
Brickweed. Yeah.
The seeds and everything.
It's worth about $1,000, but
hey, still, hey, don't look the gift plane in the mouth when it bombs your garage. You know, I mean,
and you know, the cops are still going to put this in their pile of like, here's what we've kept off the streets with our valiant valentry.
Yeah,
but they didn't. It just fell out of the sky. Now,
fell out of the sky.
If drugs fell out of the sky and landed on my car, I wouldn't call 911. I'd take up religion. Thank you, Jesus.
Now, supposedly, this is near the Mexican border. So, they acted like this kind of thing happens all the time down there. Like these, like airdrops. Like there's like the smugglers, like just. I guess they just, it's better to just drop it than to land with it. So they just like chuck it overboard as they fly through the desert, and I guess somebody picks it up off the ground.
I'm wondering too, like if people are smuggling pot with, you know, those little drones now, you know, the hobbyist drones. I mean, they'll carry like 5 pounds, and it'd be safer because you wouldn't get caught if you get caught, you know.
Problem is the limited range on those things. I think maybe like a traditional gas-powered model plane, you know, would have a better range. Yeah.
Well, you know, actually the word drone is kind of a misnomer with those, because those are not drones. They're radio-controlled helicopters. Drone technically implies an unmanned vehicle that you can program to do a certain, like, you know, literally you could program it to, like, pick up here and, you know, go 20 miles there and then land.
Yeah,
or knock out my power and leave Jim Babb to talk aimlessly for 30 minutes.
That happened last time.
Yeah.
Take that, audience.
Yeah.
Thanks, government.
You know, there was a thing last year. This pod thing kind of reminded me of last year. There was some girl somewhere, like 10-year-old or 11-year-old girl somewhere, that found, you know, a paper bag with $10,000 in it or something, and she and her dad went down and turned it into the police, you know, and the police said, yeah, and then if nobody claims the money, you know, they have to say how much it was, where they lost it, and if no one claims it, you'll get it back, and after a month, nobody claimed it, and the girl and her dad went to pick it up, and the police were like, nope, we've decided to keep this for the city. Did you guys hear about that?
Oh, that's terrible.
It sounds so typical, though, of what they, you know, God.
What do you,
they,
do, James,
they would have had better luck if they just dropped it off with the local mafia representative.
Yeah, yeah.
And be like, I'm sure, you know.
James, you and your daughter probably find, you know, sacks of five figures of money all the time. you don't turn it in, do you?
Oh, absolutely not. Yeah, definitely not. One, you know, it reminds me printers. Of that story, the people that found, like, the gold hoard, like, buried in their backyard.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, we have all this gold. Better call 911.
911.
Can we get some government involved here? I'm not sure if we should have a windfall. I better check with the government. And it turns out, nope, you don't.
You wanted more government? You got more government.
There's a Louis C.K. thing I really like. I heard the other day where
he's out of this.
You are not Louis C.K., but he, he, you know, he got joint custody with his two kids, and he, when he had them for a month or something, they rented a house out in the country, and he said he's like terrified out there. He's like, I live in New York City, and you know, there's murderers and child molesters, and I'm totally at home, but out in the country, who knows what's out there? And he said he went down the kitchen, and there was a bat, and he called 911, and he's like, they're real polite. It was country 911. You know, if I did that in New York City, he'd be like, well, sir, we'll send a crew right over to shoot you in the face. But it was
and we'll just spray the sidewalk with gunfire as we arrive.
So is the country, and the lady's like, oh, you know, like she knows it must be someone from out of town. She's like, well, let me give you the number of this guy who deals with, you know, bat. And she said he was trying really hard not to say Batman. So he gets the number, and the guy comes over and just like walks in and just picks the bat up with his two fingers and takes it outside and throws it out the door, and it flies away. And you know, and he's like, okay, pussy, that'll be $30 or whatever. You know?
Yeah, the moral of the story is don't ever leave your home.
Don't ever call 911. Call a crackhead instead. That's the new Freedom Fiends thing that I've heard, like, you know, 8 of the 20 hosts say lately on different shows. You know, there's this thing going around. It's a response to Police Lives Matter to, you know, no, there's a war on cops. It's dangerous being a policeman. It's not dangerous being a policeman. It's like the 40th most dangerous job, like way after digging ditches and, you know, being a baseball coach. But so there's
I think it's getting more dangerous, though. No, I think it is, as their firearm skills seem to get lower and lower,
they shoot
the chance of friendly fire and them shooting themselves gets more risky every day.
But there's this saying that keeps coming up with police lickers. They say, like, well, you know, you say you don't like the police now, but who are you gonna call when someone's trying to break in your house, a policeman or a crackhead? And like, more and more of the fiends are all saying, I'd call the crackhead, man, because
it's the cop that's breaking into your house.
Probably. Because the cops will shoot you, no matter, you know, the cops will shoot you and get away with it and get a 2-week paid vacation. The crackhead is, you know, he wants the crack, and you're not going to pay him unless he does what you want him to do. So you'd be better off calling the crackhead. At least if
he shoots,
like,
he can't get the crack.
Right.
You know, something like, let's say your cousin's locked himself in the bathroom, says he's going to kill himself. If you call the cops, they will come kill your cousin. If you call a crackhead and say, I'll give you $40 worth of crack if you can talk him out of there and give him to put the gun down, the crackhead will probably get him to put the gun down and talk him out of there.
Yeah, he's motivated. That's motivated. You know what I'm scared of, though, are the crackhead cops. I don't know what they're going to do.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, man.
Bad lieutenant.
Did you hear about this?
That movie?
No, but there was a situation where these people were so interested in this fake war on cops that the cops shot each other to I'm not making this up.
Wow. Yeah. Now, I heard about the guy that like ruined his own truck and spray painted Black Lives Matter on it. But
yeah, no, that was a different story. That was one of the cops. That was one of the cop suckers, the bootlickers. Yeah. This is an cop actual. Lickers. Okay. This was in Houston, okay? This motorcycle cop, okay? The report comes out, somebody shot this motorcycle policeman in the back, and they made this big stink. They're like, oh, what a coward would shoot this man in the back when he's not even looking at you. And they put on this manhunt. They put a description for like a man.
Was the guy actually shot?
Yes. Okay. Oh. So they put out this APB and a description of a man and a woman, champagne colored vehicle, and a man and a pregnant woman. Okay. Now, you know, okay. And they said, oh, they shot a cop and they're out there. Now, we've seen in LA what can happen, right? When they put out they shot a cop and he's out there. They'll just anybody.
Yeah. It was, they were looking for, you know, a 300 pound muscular black man in a Toyota truck. And instead, they shot two skinny Salvadorian women in a Ford truck. There's a different color.
Well, and that was five, like, oops, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. We accidentally loaded 60 rounds into your vehicle, you know. But anyway, so you know what the danger is, right? So this story goes out there, and they're like, oh, he's a coward. How could he do this? And so the manhunt begins. Then, now, according to this article, and this is like a mainstream news source, investigators now believe the story was completely fabricated, okay? And it turns out he was shot by his friend, okay, who was another cop on the scene.
Wow.
Okay.
Wow.
But it's the war on cops. You got to believe it's serious, you know?
Yeah, that calling the crackhead seems more and more appealing by each time I read one of these articles. Yep. We had two. Last time I was on, there was two articles about a cop shooting up its own car, and then a cop being upset it couldn't get Arby's. And now they're just shooting themselves. I mean, we can only imagine what's going to be next, right?
Yeah. I don't know.
What's the next stop on this slippery slope?
So really, really quick, in the next 40 seconds, tell people who think, I'm a law-abiding person, I respect the police, why you shouldn't just blindly respect the police. James Babb.
Well, because they're an armed gang with a history of violence and zero accountability.
There you go. Jim Jesus.
I don't know what else to say. That was
can't
perfect.
Do better than that. Yeah.
Can't all do right. better than that.
Well, we're going to call this episode Cop Lickers. And I found a picture already for it. And we're going to go to the free market and not shoot anybody because we don't work for the government.
Guns don't kill people, the government does.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. Go to freedomfiends.com to help keep it drone-proof.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Okay, we've got a request, Jim. You really can't, Jim Jesus, you really can't turn down your public here. They want you to do more Trump and more Bane. Can you do Bane doing Trump or Trump doing Bane? Can you Trump into your coffee cup or into your pint glass? That's my request.
That one really sucks. It's kind of like, I don't know, China, it takes my calls.
I like it.
I'm going to build a wall all around Gotham.
So what's the deal with Bane? Is he like on some gas that's a painkiller?
Okay, it depends on if you're talking about the comic or if you're talking about the film. And then the comic,
both.
On the comic, he's on a drug called Venom. And it makes him big and strong because he's really like a really cerebral character. He's a really smart guy, but he takes the serum to get buff. And so I'm told. I'm not a big comic guy. but this is what I've read. And this drug is so addictive that if he spends any amount of time off of it, he goes in, like, he's basically an immovable amount of pain. He goes with instant withdrawals, I guess. That's why he has that little thing on the back of his mask. Now, in the movie, he was beaten and abused in prison, and he sustained, like, terrible injuries that put him in so much pain that they have to put this respirator on that lets him breathe this gas that alleviates the pain just enough so he can function. So that's basically the difference. But, yeah, that's why he talks weird and has that weird mask, which I want, but I can't find under $50. I just can't do it.
Yeah.
So hashtag please donate.
Explain that.
I'll let Jim Babb do that one.
Well, it's a Facebook page, hashtag please donate, started by Steve Miller. It was as a tribute to all the libertarians out there. I guess the theme is it's something like have opinions plus a website equals career or something like that. I'm paraphrasing, but it sort of makes fun of all the people that are out there, just kind of all the libertarians out there begging for money for silly causes, particularly one guy that
it
had
started with Cantwell, but then it moved over to somebody else who we can't mention because I may have signed a contract that I'm not allowed to say anything bad about anybody on our network. But that other guy, like, okay, I clicked like on that page when it was only bashing Chris Cantwell. And forgot about it. And like two or three months later, it had kind of like mission creeped into being about a few other people. And one of the other people like wrote me this really butthurt IM one day on Facebook.
I got, like, the same message.
Did you? Yeah. Like, dude, I thought we were friends. How could you possibly click like on this? And I'm like, on what? What are you talking about?
Well, I wonder if he copied and pasted the exact same message to both of us.
Because I'm going to send it to you and you can tell me.
And it was the same. It was like, I can't believe, I thought we were friends and you clicked like, and I can't believe it.
You clicked like, and you know, like
you thought memes were your ally.
Retweets do not necessarily mean co-signing something, but in this case it did, because I really think that people are idiots who put a lot of faith in that the world is going to owe them a living for being clever about libertarianism in print or writing or verbiage. Because I do it harder and better in more hours a week than most people. You know, I put about 30 hours a week into producing a show that's 7 days a week with 20 hosts, and I make probably $100 a month, maybe. And I was thinking about that, like, that's what I say and explain when people say it, but I don't even know if I make that, because then I do things like, you know, oh, one of the hosts broke his microphone and needs a new one, and I'll just go on Amazon and pay $70 and send him a mic and not even think about it, you know. So I don't even know if I make $100 a month, but I work almost full time at this show, and I'm like $10,000 or more in debt this year from medical expenses from like a really legitimate illness, and I didn't beg for a cent of money for that. So I'm the opposite of the please donate crowd. The what did MK Lords call them? The
libertarian welfare queens.
That's it. All right, James Babb and I are going to compare some notes. We'll have an answer when we get back from this trip to the market.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
New Hampshire is under quarantine as walking corpses devour the flesh of the living. Max is 11 years old and surviving alone. Slow-moving and non-thinking, the dead swarm his home. Now he must apply his Porcupine Freedom Scouts training to improvise his escape. Look for Survivor Max on Facebook, read reviews on Amazon, or read Chapter 1 at SurvivorMax.com.
Freedom Friends.
It may not be that important, but China will take our calls.
What kind of license is the Fiends covered by Bane?
The show is covered by a Bitcoin, no government license. You can learn more at bitcoin.org.
Yep.
Yes. Of course.
Yeah, we're talking about people who are really easily butthurt and get upset at critique. Like people that want to be known by tens of thousands of people, like people on radio who then get upset if someone makes fun of them. I'm like, man, how are you going to live? That's not going to work out. So, there are three parody accounts of me on Twitter. I just started.
I only have one.
Wait, I gotta subscribe to the others. Where can I find?
I'll find them for you. And okay. One of them is Chris Cantwell, and one of them is Chris Cantwell, and it's like, it's really mean. It's like, you know, I hope Michael Dean dies. Like he's the one who started the I hope Michael Dean dies. So, you know, I take my beefs, my one-on-one beefs, to syndicated radio. So I hope he dies, and I'm going to try to encourage him to put his gun in his mouth. So. And James Babb is forgiving and loving and is not trying to encourage that. So, no.
Yeah. You know, I heard a funny video, or well, I tried to watch it, but it was Cantwell versus Austin Peterson. Have you seen this video?
This is beautiful.
No, it's beautiful. You have to watch Austin Peterson.
If there was ever...
Even get me started.
If there was ever, like, a wish for, like, mutual assured destruction, this was it.
I just wish Cantwell would quit calling. There's like three or four people that I wish would quit calling themselves libertarians and anarchists. Like, I'd be really happy with Cantwell and Berwick and Molyneux if they just all of a sudden just said, hey, man, we're pro-Trump. We're Republicans now. I would never speak ill of any of them again.
They'd be pretty cool for Republicans. You know, like if they're Republicans, you'd be like, he's not bad for a Trump supporter. You know, like he'd really have a lot of credibility.
I really like
these guys, but let's face it, they're not that great. My doorman, big fan of Molyneux, donates all the time. Not a fan.
I thought you said your doorman's name was Big Fat Molly. Like some gangster.
Doorman was deported. I had to get a new one. Don't worry, he's a great kid.
He asked for a raise, so you got him deported. Yeah.
I give him a call every once in a while. He lives in Mexico now. Great kid. He takes my calls.
You used to give him like $5 every Christmas. You're a very generous man. Yeah. And that makes it a living wage. That plus the $8 an hour he makes in New York City under the table. Yeah.
Yep.
Speaking of, evidently Trump is, if he wins, he's going to save Christmas. And I thought this was, I couldn't, when I heard this, I'm like, no, that's a parody. You know,
no,
like,
but here, check this out, okay? The Cantwell one was like, I interact with all of these to the point where Cantwell actually is implying that they're all me. Like he said in some tweet that I have more Twitter accounts than ISIS, which I think is him thinking that I'm all these accounts because I'm the only one that really interacts with it for the most part, and like the LRN parody account. So, but he's got really mean. So this, I was just like, I'm gonna try something. I started tweeting at it something like, you know, if anybody has information, let me know. I really want to know about Chris Cantwell's sealed youth record that involves. Cat strangling and arson, and all of a sudden, like he didn't post anything else after that. I was kidding, man. I was kidding, but all of a sudden, like it shut him down. So, like, does he really have a sealed, you know, youth criminal record that involves cat strangling and arson? Man,
maybe you got a little too close to the truth there.
Whatever it is, yeah, it's probably not that, but it's probably, you know, puppy poking and, you know, I don't know.
Poking. Is that the radio
puppy
friendly?
Poking and, okay. You know, making incendiary devices. Who knows?
No. Making IEDs.
I like Cantwell. I want Cantwell to thrive. But Jim's going to have to take him to an AA meeting first for that to happen.
Implying I need to go.
Well, I'd be your sponsor, then you could be his sponsor. I don't go. I haven't been to a meeting. You know, the funny thing is, like...
We're going to have this debate.
No, I just occasionally, like, ask on the internet, like... Why do anarchists hate AA so much? You know, because really it's like the only option is like government-sanctioned psychotherapy. And my saying is that AA is to, you know, psychotherapy what Bitcoin is to fiat currency. You know, it's like
that's
AA
not
is,
true.
Yeah, it is.
No, it's not, because there's secular kind of organizations that provide that sort of, you know, community.
Not in my time.
Therapy. Not in your, because you live in nowhere.
I live in nowhere, so I don't have to deal with people like you and Trump. No, I would actually welcome you to come by my house sometime. There are very few people I would.
Awesome. We'll go shoot it.
Because you're most of the fiends. Yeah.
Say it. Say it. Say it. Most of the fiends what?
I invite you all.
Which means some of the fiends would be banned, but yeah, most of the fiends would be welcome.
No. Just Nikki, darling.
Ooh. It's too soon.
But she used to be a fiend, and she was really good at it. And, like, then she had a boyfriend, and, like, all of a sudden was, like, flaking on appointments and, like, you know, taking 3 weeks to answer stuff. And I was like, hey, why don't you send the mic back? I'll give it to someone else. And she did reluctantly. And then she unfriended me on Facebook. And I accidentally said that to somebody that she had blocked me on Facebook. Like, I got them confused. And she got really upset. She's like, you're lying. You're making up lies. So I'm like, I made a mistake, lady. Come on. But I just thought that was kind of petty. You know, kind of in the same way it's kind of petty for me to be, like, having one-on-one beefs on syndicated radio.
Yeah.
Someone, yeah.
I've pretty much had no problems with her. We were supposed to meet up when she was in Vegas, and she kind of flaked.
Oh, she flaked? Yeah. You're saying she flaked?
Yeah. Come on.
But other than that, she's been great to me, so I can't really say anything else.
Okay. Jim Jesus. Oh, well. I mean, Jim Bovard. I mean, I put it out on the show last night that Bovard should be on The Fiends.
I fully support that.
I'm too busy to send him an email, but I just figure someone will tell him.
No, I think you should really got to get that Freedom Tunes guy. The guy that's on Who? My podcast. The guy that's on my podcast.
Coughlin. Yeah, Seamus.
Coughlin. Yeah. Coughlin.
I don't know. He's got his own thing going. I've given him some advice, though, that he took.
Oh, that's good.
That's my contribution. Good. Yeah, like audio.
So did some story notes. So he improved. You improved the audio for my show.
Yeah, and the story. I gave him some story notes on some of his videos.
Oh, nice.
Although what he needs to do is send them to me before he posts them. And I'll give him story notes he can actually change.
Yep. But anyways, yeah, that's what I'm doing now. I'm doing podcasts, but Lulbert. I'm not hashtag donate. Yeah,
you're Lulbert. So that means is that Lulbertarians? Is that what that means?
So I've been called a Lulbert by some liberals and conservatives.
It's an insult for Lulbertarian. They're laughing.
And it's short for Lulbertarian. So I'm taking the word back. Right.
It's our word.
Yeah. So I'm taking it back. And so starting a podcast. Yeah, there's a few other couple other people, including Nick Hazelton, which I'm not sure if you know. Nick Hazelton, are you familiar with?
Yeah.
He's a little obscure, but he's going to be one of the co-hosts.
Well, I hear that he's licensed to sell marijuana-fed yak in Oregon, where he's working on it.
Wow.
That's in Oregon.
The problem is they're all vegetarians in Oregon. How are they going to? Yeah. This is going to really challenge their sensibilities out there. Like, well, it was fed with weed. Wait a minute, it's meat, yeah. but it's fed with.
I don't know, man. So, but there's a lot of meat eaters in Oregon too, but they're like rednecks who wouldn't touch weed. Maybe rednecks maybe smoke weed crossovers. Though, don't they?
Yeah,
rednecks smoke weed, but think it should be.
No,
illegal.
They drink PBR.
Okay, so Lulberts, tell us more about your. It's LOLBERTS.com, right?
Yeah, and we basically just laugh at everything. We're not good, like, man. The tyranny show. We're just like, this is tyranny.
It's the best sounding first couple episodes, like, of any podcast I've ever heard that has like two episodes out. It is the best sounding.
Because the first one didn't sound that. Yeah, the first one didn't sound that great, but it still sounds a lot better than a lot of other podcasts I've heard.
Talk Show.
Not mentioning any names. Talk Show, Vlog Talk Radio. But that was my first foray into podcasting, was on Blog Talk Radio, and it sounded like I was on a cell phone in the middle of the Nevada desert with a bad connection. It was terrible. But people wanted to listen to it, and I got two episodes, and I just couldn't take it anymore. And then you taught me how to do it well, so worms.
What does it mean when a white woman has a Facebook page and proudly posts something that says, 8 of the worst domestic terrorists that attacked the U.S. were extreme Christians and right-wing white men. What is she saying?
Is this a riddle?
Wrapped in an enigma, wrapped in a condom?
Of course.
I think she's implying that, yeah, the white men are terrorists, right? All right? Is that it?
She's white, though. Too soon?
I don't know.
So let's look at our notes.
Donald Trump will make anime real. That looks pretty good. That was a topic on the Lulberts.
Yeah, let's look at Jim's notes. Hey, have you had anyone call yet? You should give out your number.
Yes, I've had the same guy call 3 times, confused.
Who is he? Because he's a man from the Fiends Live?
Yeah, a man from South Dakota. I'm not going to give his name out. That's not very nice.
Well, he's calling to be on the air, though.
Well, he understood that we weren't taking his calls. We're, you know, this is not Donald Trump here.
The Fiends don't take calls. So what we're doing is we're giving out Jim Jesus's show's number. So if you want to talk to the Fiends, call Jim, and weeks later he'll maybe play it on his show and address it. So what's your number?
Yeah, it's 424-666-1909.
Did you pick the 666, or you just got it like that?
So here's what happened. This is a Google Voice number. Yeah, it's 424-666-1909. And what happened was, this is a Google Voice number, and I stumbled across, I needed a new phone number, and I just happened to stumble across a prefix that worked. And I was like, nice. Oh, 666, that's awesome. And then I picked 1909 because I couldn't get 9091, which is like one after the 909, which is a Beatles.
You know, Ronald Wilson Reagan. All 6 in each name.
Whoa.
And you know, an anagram for Ronald Wilson Reagan. An anagram for Ronald Wilson Reagan is Insane Anglo Warlord. Speaking of scary white men. All right. So what did the guy from South Dakota want?
I guess he wanted to contribute a topic to the show, but then never contributed a topic.
I was going to say, we need a topic right now.
Okay. Let's talk about the Leaf. We should talk about the Leaf, not the Leaf that got the kid arrested but the other type of Leaf.
Oh, the plug and plant box.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that is. Yeah, we'll cover that when we come back from the market, because that
automated weed, weed growing.
Yeah.
Post scarcity is here.
I think Cody Wilson's next project should be marijuana crossed with dandelions. Like marijuana that's really a weed that you just can't get rid of.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Hey, this is Nathan Explosion from Death Clock, and you're listening to the Freedom Fiends on the radio. Worms.
I was honored to be there, and he came in and offered me a stem cell smoothie, and I was drinking.
We are on.
Extra cocaine. Oh,
yes.
Sorry.
We're on for you.
Erase all that. Please strike that from the record, jury. Okay, good. James Babb, you want to talk about space?
No, we're talking about that wonderful innovation called Leaf, which is. Called the thing is a plug and plant box to automatically grow pot in your home. It's an appliance. Okay.
Sort of like that milling machine from Cody Wilson, but for pot.
Yeah. Only it's a home growing system, and it's a 4-foot by 2-foot box that fits 2 plants, and it says yields between 4 to 5 ounces of weed. Wow. I'm not sure how long it takes to grow that, but I think I watched the video, and it said it was like per month, or maybe like 4 or 5
months.
3 months?
3 month cycle. And they presume that that's the amount that you would smoke in 3 months.
Are you kidding? Like one party and it's gone. You know, like, I mean, you're going to need like 12 of these boxes, okay? But I love the concept, right? Isn't that a great concept?
I guess. It sounds lazy to me. I'm thinking like weeds. You can't not grow weeds, man. Weeds just grow. But
they kind of act like it's some kind of difficult procedure, but yeah, basically
I'm looking at it. It looks like
seeds, dirt, water, and sun, and it's going to grow. You know, but this keeps it inside. It's compact. It's private. It's
away from the kids.
Yeah, it's a or easy access for the kids, depending on your lifestyle.
The kids have to take care of it for you. It's part of their, you know,
keeps it away from the allowance. From the neighbor's kids.
The neighbor's kids. There you go. Right. Yes.
What's really weird about this thing is that inside there's a camera, and it's live streams on the internet, so other people who have the app and have the Leaf can monitor your progress and even use your recipe if it likes.
Yeah,
they like the way it's safe. Worked. Yeah, it's just. It's just, I don't know.
There's something a little creepy about it, but at the same time, you know, it's kind of like, do you have that like phone app? What is it called? Like My Fitness Pal, and like, oh, you can see what your exercises your buddies have done. Like, oh, somebody just did some exercise, and you can like each other's. Like, so this would be like, oh, you've got My Weed Growing Pal. Like, oh, somebody just reached harvest time. I'm gonna like that. You know,
it comes with cartridges. Like, it looks like printer cartridges for the nutrients. That's weird. Here's why it's racist. You guys didn't even pick up on that. Have you heard this theory? Like, I've actually heard people say that legalizing pot is racist because it's like, instead of minorities making their living selling pot now, it's like, you know, entrepreneurs and you know, Silicon Valley Sand Road investors making all the money now. White people with money. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And of course, white people don't make any money on the war on drugs, right? They don't get any jobs as prison guards, as cops, as judges, as probation officers, as, right? That white people aren't making money there. So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Don't forget about the cartels. They're in Mexico. They're good, fine people, but they bring drugs over. Not so good. Not a fan. We're going to build a wall.
The first comment.
Keep all the bad comments.
The first comment in here is someone saying, it ain't rocket science, it's a flower. And then he like breaks down like fools in their money and says like how to replace this by buying things at Lowe's cheaper.
But I can't live tweet it.
I still love it as a concept. Okay, let the market evolve, right? Let somebody else come up with something better.
THC. I'm unfollowing this Twitter feed.
Fooling his money is soon. Yeah,
you know, if everybody had those things, there'd be no need to bomb dog houses with bricks of weed.
It also probably would cost a lot less than it does if everybody had one.
Yeah. It's even worse is now you're going to know when all your friends have weed. Like, today's harvest day for me. Yippee! And like 3 seconds later.
Ding dong.
Do you want that of the clown? Hey.
We heard you had great news.
take a K-cup for weed. We're out. Yep, we're out. We'll talk about space in hour 2 on the Freedom Fiends here.
Space.
Space. The final frontier.
We gotta build you a microphone into your coffee cup.
You could maybe use like a lapel mic. Like, drop a lapel mic inside the cup.
Inside your K-cup full of weed. Playing drums.
You. It was my chair.
Pretty cool. Oh, yeah, you're a drummer. You're a world beat drummer.
Are you sick of peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
Meow!
So, This is the Freedom Fiends. It's a radio show. They broadcast from a place called Podbay 2A. From what I told, it's a mile above sea level at a place called Intergalactic Prairie Studios. I assume that's somewhere out of the country. I'm not a fan of this sort of thing. Why we're outsourcing radio in our own country? Unacceptable. If I become president, we're going to be contacting them, Intergalactic Prairie Studios, to take my calls. They say they toast your brain to a 365 degrees Fahrenheit. I think that's a little too warm. Keeps me out. Can't handle that. But apparently, it's already going on. Can you feel it, Mr. Babb? Can you take my call?
Yes, I can take your call. Yes, I can.
And the Freedom Fiends is covered by a Bitcoin, no government license. This allows reuse by anyone except governments. You could learn more at bitcoin.org.
So how are you feeling?
I'm feeling great. Trump McBain.
Trumpy McBain.
Yeah. Well, I'm still excited that Trump's going to bring back Christmas. When you told me that, I'm like, wow, you know, because we've all feel like, you know what? We hardly get any Christmas. You know, it's practically
gone. We get
happy
holidays. We get happy Kwanzaa. We get all this stuff, but we never get Merry Christmas. And when I'm president, you'll be hearing Merry Christmas again. You don't hear it now. It's because I'm not president. Because we had a Kenyan running the presidency. We've even outsourced it our own Oval Office. Unacceptable. When I'm president, Kenya, they take my calls. They take my calls.
God bless
that
you,
joke
Mr.
will never
Trump.
Get old.
You're going to make America great again. It's been so long since America's been great.
Yeah.
Wow.
So what's going on with the Pope?
Wow. Well, he just vacated Philadelphia, and it was basically mayhem. It was the largest police state exercise in an urban city. I think possibly ever. I don't know if they've ever locked down a city as big as Philadelphia, but it was brutal. I mean, it was. I actually avoided it.
But didn't they lock down Boston for a day or something like that?
Oh yeah, that was probably worse. Now that I think about it, but this was done in the spirit of peace and families
and socialism.
But the one of the, I mean, literally, they locked down the entire downtown. They closed the highways entering the city. They shut off the Ben Franklin Bridge, which, well, that's not a bad idea because it protects the city from New Jersey, but it's still kind of radical, you know, to just like block all these major arteries, shut it down, tow all the carts away from downtown. And they put up these checkpoints and barricades on roads that like the Pope went nowhere near. They're like, well, we got to just close it all off. We're just closing it off for, you know, why? Well, just close it off. They had the National Guard in. Okay, and this is the funny thing. They have all these National Guard people in there. They didn't know why they were there. Well, we're here. They had, a lot of them had their full camouflage gear with orange safety vests on top.
So serious stuff.
Yeah, I don't know who their fashion consultants were for this, but they weren't really sure if they wanted to be seen or blend in, or be seen blending in, or blend in being seen. I don't know. It's supposed to, you know, the city made all of this, you know, incredible things. They had porta pots, thousands and thousands of porta pots. Like every street was lined with porta pots, just an endless row after row after row. Like I'm imagining that, like all over the rest of the country, everyone is like holding it because there was like no, all the porta pots were in Philly this weekend. So
every construction site was,
yeah, they're all just like, oh. Everybody had to pee in the bushes for a weekend. One of the restaurateurs, there's this guy, Steven Starr, who's like one of the big restaurant dudes in Philly. He's got like a dozen restaurants. And this was his quote he came out with in the paper. He said, this affected business worse than Hurricane Sandy. The city scared all of our customers away. We have virtually no reservations. This is unnecessary overkill. What should have been a feeling of family and community was turned into a police and military operation.
But no one needs guns. Didn't we hear that from the Pope? This week, that no one needs guns is terrible, and then he just surrounds himself with people with guns and bulletproof glass and
right, and I mean, pick we're one. Talking thousands of people. I mean, all the cops, all these soldiers, all of this lockdown, all enforced by guns, insane. But to be fair, I had a friend that like went biking around town, and he said it was like really kind of cool because you could go like biking across the Ben Franklin Bridge where normally there'd be cars. And I think it had like a post-apocalyptic sort of joy in the air of like, hey, everybody's finally dead. We can be free, you know. I don't know.
It's like 28 Days Later. Or is that another like movie with a zombie movie where he just walks out and then everything is just empty?
I don't know. Did you hear about that Representative Bob Brady did, the congressman?
Yes, I did. Where he stole the Pope's glass.
Right. He saw that. He's like, okay, the Pope took a drink of water. I'm going to steal that glass. So he steals the glass. He immediately chugs some on the spot to see if it rejuvenates him. He takes it. He shares some with his staff, his wife, and then he sprinkles some on his grandkids. Okay. Presumably there's some kind of like holy backwash that it's going to be transmitted.
You know, I think they actually have stuff called holy water. It's already blessed. You don't need the Pope glass.
It wasn't holy water because that burns vampires. Okay. No, I think he was hoping for the holy backwash, and you know, just and this is Bob Brady, the big gun grabber jerk. You know, it's like. I mean, this is, you know, and people are like, well, yeah, let's let him make these huge decisions for 330 million Americans, right? Like, why would you possibly doubt his judgment?
Yeah, he's only stealing water glasses from the Pope.
But that's the weird hysteria. Like, I think people really think he's got, like, supernatural powers. I think that's why they flock to see him. They're like, well, he's got magic.
Well, he talks to me every day, and I tell him I don't want to be bothered. The different Jesus. Sorry, I think that's just one of my hallucinations.
Does he take your calls?
He takes my calls. I tell him not to stop calling me. He just keeps calling.
Oh man! But yeah, I didn't get any of the holy spittle. Yeah. But, you know, I mean, I wonder if, like, people try to get close when he's, like, talking, hoping that, like, he'll, like, spray them with saliva as he speaks. Like, and that could have, like, magical healing properties.
It says, now, as we understand it, and please correct us if we're wrong, unless the Pope actually blessed the liquid, it's not technically holy water. But Brady told us he could care less.
Right. Now, any sane, rational person knows it doesn't get magical powers unless the Pope says it does. It becomes magical.
But he could care just a little bit, because he said he could care less, which means he does care a little bit enough to care even less than that. This guy's an elected official. Someone voted for this guy. He's stealing water glasses and...
And then there was the tissue we blew his nose in, you know, like, oh, then they fought over it, you know.
I got the right corner of it. We fought for it. I think is that a booger? No, it's not a booger.
It's holy. It's holy. Go home and smear that on your grandkids. But they like, say that when he sleeps somewhere, that they make a special bed, and it's embroidered with emblems and crests, and he sleeps in it, and it's never been slept in before, and it will never be slept in again. It becomes like a minor relic. So.
Yeah, and then I had this liberal friend. I haven't defooed yet, and he posted this thing like, "Oh, isn't it great that the Pope is driving around a $20,000 car, and you know, and you." you know, like some other pastor or whatever is driving, you know, a Bentley. And I was like, well, wait a minute. Didn't they just make him the super expensive mattress that he's only going to sleep in once, and then it's going to never be ever used again? And right. We're talking about how he's just this, he's just like this modest guy because he's driving around a Fiat. No. And I think the Putmobile is actually a Mercedes.
I don't know what it is.
It's a Mercedes. It's a Mercedes.
You know, it did look like he, you know, I was comparing this Popemobile to the one that like Pope John Paul was driving around in, which was like more like a tank, you know, like under like 3 inches of bulletproof glass. And this one was like, looks like he has a little more faith this time around. It's like opening the sides and, you know.
Rolling down the window and waving at people in his little Fiat. I'm sure it was like a bulletproof Fiat.
It had like a front windshield and like overhead. So like a sniper like up high, it would have probably blocked the shot. You would have had like been like down like along like a like next to him to get a clear shot. So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but to call the Pope modest about anything is just ridiculous. And
yeah, especially if you've been to the Vatican. Like, yeah, go to the Vatican. Exactly. There's like 2,000 years of plunder, like gold.
It's like one of the most expensive pieces of real estate in the face of the world. And yet I'm supposed to believe that he's a pious guy because when he leaves that place, sometimes he drives a Trabant. No. Oh, yes. He has to shake his car every once in a while, but don't worry. You know, he's sleeping on a Serta when he gets home. I'm not buying it. Yeah. Not buying it.
there was a great article from The Onion, and, you know, and again, The Onion is really, like, hard-pressed to differentiate itself from reality. And their article was, "Horrified Pope calls Philadelphia humanity's greatest sin against God." Visibly aghast as he took the pulpit at the Cathedral Basilica of St. Peter and Paul in Philadelphia to deliver a sermon, the horrified Pope Francis reportedly referred to the city as blighted abomination, forsaken by heaven, and humanity's greatest sin against God.
I've heard people say that about the cheesesteak. I don't know if that's true. They look good.
I don't know. After concluding his prepared remarks, the Pope reportedly led a congregation in prayer, and a prayer for God to rain cleansing fire and brimstone over the city. And then salt the smoldering earth so that no wickedness could ever again arise in its place.
But Gotham will survive.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net. Meow!
Welcome back to the Freedom Fiends. I'm Jim Babb, and I'm here with Jim Jesus.
Yo. And we're sponsored by Phone. Yeah, we're sponsored by Fiend Phone at supervillaindate.com. Find your supervillain date tonight. Nice.
Supervillaindate.com.
Of course. I can't do the Bane voice right now because I am drinking a fine Arizona iced tea. Not a sponsor, but
You're drinking out of your Bane cup right
I'm
now.
I'm drinking out of my Bane cup right now.
Awesome. So I guess you heard the big news from NASA, right? Were you following that, Jim?
NASA is the people that own space, right?
Yeah, they've claimed a monopoly status, kind of like the post office.
Okay.
NASA has kind of claimed a monopoly on space, but For like a week, they're like, there's going to be a big announcement. Everybody brace yourself. It's going to be huge, big news coming from Mars. And everybody's like, aliens? Finally? Aliens? You know, like, what's it going to be? You know, and they're like, it's a black line we're calling water. Oh.
Wah, 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 wah.
Gosh,
that's
thanks.
That's why I came here.
And P.S., we'd like more billions of dollars, please.
Yeah. Because the free market can't do this.
Right. Yeah, that's what Neil deGrasse Tyson said, right?
Yeah. It's not possible. Space is dangerous. It's expensive. There are unqualified risks. Combine all of those under one umbrella, and you can't establish a free market capitalization of that enterprise. I think they actually kind of are. I think what he's really trying to say is that private firms can't fund themselves into new explorations because it's too risky. But I don't think that's true.
Well, you know, let's face it. I mean, gosh, you know, right. Businesses never do anything risky, right? Mm. Like they would never come up with something like, you know, an automobile on their own without like some kind of government like making that happen, right? Who could possibly understand all the risks of building an automobile factory and a network of dealerships and gas stations and iron working plants and
or even riskier, a casino for Donald Trump. Too soon?
Yeah, people still give him money to spend, yeah. Right? And like, even though they know that like he's just going to lose it, they still give it to him.
He only went bankrupt four times, okay? It's not so bad.
Yeah. But, you know, I think Neil has a point, you know, because what he's saying is it's like, hey, private enterprise is never going to do something like a moon landing, okay? And I think there's a good reason for that, because it's not really that smart of a thing to do, right? Yeah. People do the risk and like cost benefit analysis, and they're like, that's kind of expensive to go to the moon. What do you expect to find? Well, there's going to be some rocks and some dust. Dirt. And there's a good chance people are going to die. I'm like, well, we checked with the insurance actuary, and he said, nah.
Yeah, I can't insure that. No. You're going to send three people? Ugh.
Now, you know, I could easily see, you know what, like Red Bull, you know, like Red Bull sponsoring that. You know what? We're going to go to the moon, and we're going to have like some kind of like snowboarding on some kind of like moonscape snowboarding, right? Or like moon buggy racing brought to you by
moon rock skiing. Rover skiing, right? There you go.
Yeah.
Tie like a string behind the back of one of the rovers and just ski along the rocks. Hopefully you can find a crater,
right?
To make a jump off of.
You know, when you think about it, like a couple billion dollars, I wouldn't be surprised. Like, what does Red Bull spend on marketing in a year?
I mean, they did pay for someone to go and jump off, jump from space. They did do that.
Yeah.
And now I go to the moon and, you know, go skiing on a crater.
I'd love to see that. Or, you know, how about Olympus Mons? Who's going to be the first to get to Olympus Mons? I'll bet you it's going to be Red Bull. Like, yeah. it's not going to be Neil deGrasse Tyson and his government cronies. No.
Yeah. I wonder if it was government that got us on top of Mount Everest, by the way. Thank you,
government. No, that was Gary Johnson. I think that was...
Well, he was governor. He's got... Right. Governor of Mexico.
Yeah, and you know he left only corpses, right? Take only.
Too soon.
Take only Too pictures. Soon. Leave nothing but corpses.
Corpses.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Neil deGrasse Tyson falls into these science communicators, and a lot of them are pretty bad. I mean, like. For a while, like, Bill Nye, the science guy, was pushing anti-GMO stuff.
And, I hate that guy, too.
Yeah. So now we have this on top of it all. Just talk about space and shut up.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of freedomfiends.com.
It won't cost you any extra, and the fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed: The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's freedomfiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Freedom Fiends. Talk about space or shut up. Here with Jim Babb.
And,
making fun of Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Yeah, he just needs to talk about space and shut up.
Yeah. Why do these guys try to talk about anything else? You know, like,
it's just like,
people think they're smart, so they're they ask him. They think their opinions matter. It's like, he knows about space. He must be smart.
Yeah, Michael Dean has a word for it. I forget what it was, but it was people who are smart in one thing and think they're brilliant about other things, but they're not.
Well, who's that guy who's running for president? Who's literally a brain surgeon, but yeah, he's a total moron. Like.
About everything else, yes.
Yeah, he's the one that was. He's gonna like ban Islam. Be like, I kid you not. Like, he came out and he said, "Yeah, I want to ban Islam. It's not consistent with the Constitution. We're gonna ban Islam." And his ratings skyrocketed. Suddenly, the Republican base rallied around him. And like, turns out Trump's not the only bigoted jerk in the race.
So I guess the only person that could trump him now is if they say, like, oh, I'm going to bring back lynching.
You know, Trump mentioned that, like,
when he
was talking about Ed Snowden, you know, he's like, well, you remember what we used to do to traitors back, you know,
yeah.
Like, yeah, I'm not going to say
on,
it,
Mr. Trump. Go on.
You know,
I'm listening. What?
We'll take him out back and string him up. Yeah. I almost think they could be like, yeah, lynching. Yeah, it's not off the table. You know, we don't want to take anything off the table when it comes to those Muslims.
Muslims.
Man, I can't. You know. It is really a race to the bottom for these Republican candidates.
they've been trying to be politically correct all of this time. Say the right things and say it in just the right way. And if they make a slip, then it's hell to pay. But then Donald Trump was like, "No, we're gonna burn down Mexico. We're just gonna firebomb the whole thing." And it's like, "Oh, I'm voting for this guy." Like, "Oh, we're doing it wrong." Okay, so who could be the most edgiest?
Right. They were rewriting all the textbooks, you know, because people like Jeb Bush and Rand Paul, they've got the textbook. You know, they're like, have a measured, moderate response. Don't say anything too weird. You know what I mean? And don't be offensive. You know, don't brag about your plans for genocide.
Like all these nanners who teach poli-sci are gonna have to like rewrite all the books now. It's like, oh, everything we knew about political science was just totally wrong. we're gonna start all over again.
Cruz says, yeah, well, they're a bunch of racist xenophobes, but I'm gonna assassinate the Ayatollah with a nuclear bomb. They're like, oh, and now he's getting attention. Oh, now maybe he's our guy. Yeah, he wants to murder people with fire. Ooh, I like the sound of that.
Next thing you know, Hillary's going to get on stage and be like, well, if it works with Republicans, I actually killed a bunch of brown people. What's up?
they talk about killing brown people, but I'm the one that's got experience. Who do you want to kill brown people for you? These novices or a trained professional like me?
Two administrations obliterated brown people. Vote for me. Yeah, and then Bernie Sanders is going to finally wither away. His support's going to wither away because, hey, look, he says he doesn't want to bomb any of them.
No, he does. He's voted for all the wars, as far as I know. Right?
I think he actually voted against the Iraq war, but pretty much everything else, and all the wars against Palestine to protect Israel.
But you know, maybe he votes against a war, and then he votes to fund the war. You know, one of these kind of wishy-washy things. I don't know what it is, but I was actually thinking like Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders. Can you name one policy difference between the two of them?
This is tough.
Single-payer health care, build a wall, deal aggressively with foreigners.
Yeah, support Israel. Pretty much everything.
Dumb as a potato. I mean,
favorite color is potato.
You know, remember when they used to laugh at Dan Quayle because they're like, "Oh, he didn't know how to spell potato." He looks brilliant compared to this field, doesn't he?
Yeah. Oh, some of the stuff that you could just do a whole show of just nothing but Dan Quayle. Or then if we run out of material, there's always George Bush. Yeah, those quotes are brilliant. I think he actually said something about space. And I think we could actually say, just shut up about politics. Just talk about politics and shut up about space, please. Dan Quayle, what are you doing?
Where is he now? They ought to do a special, let's spread the rumor that he's actually going to get the nomination. Dan Quayle, he's going to make a comeback. Yeah, you didn't hear about Dan? Oh, yeah, Dan Quayle's campaigning. did you see that Mark Dice video where he was going around telling people, asking people what they thought about Richard Nixon throwing his hat in the ring?
I'm not exactly the biggest Mark Dice fan, but he's I love when he does the kind of like the dummy questions out on the street and everybody just doesn't know anything. Would you pay $50 or he had like this round of silver that had like $100 face value or something on it. He said, "I'll sell it to you for $50." And they're like, "Nah."
Well, I saw one where he had like a 10-ounce bar of silver and a chocolate bar, and he walks around like, "Would you like this chocolate bar or a 10-ounce bar of silver?" And everybody's taking the chocolate bar. Yeah. Or he tried to pay for fast food with like a $50 gold coin. I'll just pay with this solid gold coin, or with these Federal Reserve notes, and nobody took the gold coin.
Yep. I would have taken it and paid out of my own pocket. Like, put it in this register. I quit.
Hey, did you see the fundraiser for the lady that's asked her white friends to pay for her therapy?
No, tell me more.
Well, her name is Rena, and she's in
Oregon. This can't possibly be bad, but go ahead. Sorry.
Well, she says, I grew up in and live in the PDX area. I'm not sure what that is. The stress of living as a Thai Cambodian woman in such a white city, replete with constant interpersonal and institutional racism, has a big toll on my health and well-being. I see an amazing therapist to cope with this, blank, and I spend $100 a month on therapy for biweekly appointments. Now it's your turn to pay. Anyway, this letter starts, "Dear white friends," okay? She's actually raised $1,460 towards her goal of $2,400.
Wow.
Yeah. I think it's a great idea. Now, the more I think about it, I think we maybe should ask our status friends to pay for our taxes and maybe our therapy or, the government drives me to drinking. You status friends need to cover my AA dues. How about that?
You Cantwell supporters are driving me to drink by making me listen to this guy on The Right Stuff Todd Piz. You owe me money.
But
you promoted this guy, and now I have to listen to him on some white nationalist podcast. How dare you?
It's funny though, but you see this. I see this fairly regularly. Are people that are like, reparations. We need white people need to pay black people reparations.
Yeah. Oh, by the way, that's Portland, Oregon.
Correct. Okay. Right. Yeah, not Portland, Maine. I don't think this would fly in Portland, Maine. No.
I like to call that place Porkland, Oregon, home of the other white meat. Thank you, Likas.
Well, that may be insensitive to our Muslim brothers over there.
Oh,
Yeah.
Pork-free pork. Vegetarian pork?
Hello, so you're just adding to the institutional racism that makes this poor woman feel stressed out to ask her white friends to pay for therapy.
Yeah, where's my wallet? I'm sorry. There you go.
maybe I'll make a pledge, you know. I'm starting to feel a little bit guilty, you know. But what do you think about, I mean, what do you say to somebody? It's like, yeah, you know, well, what do you mean? Well, of course white people should pay reparations to brown people.
I don't know.
I mean, I actually hear that. I'm like, and I've asked them, like, explain to me how it's going to work. They're like, well, you know, look, slavery did a lot of damage, and, you know, and white people have benefited, so therefore you're white, and therefore you owe a brown-skinned person. So, like, how do you do that? Do you, like, we get the Sherwin-Williams, like, color swatches, and we go around and be like, okay, you're lighter than Mocha Java. You have to pay. Oh, you're darker than you know, coffee. You get to receive, like, and just sort people by shade or line up from lightest to darkest. Get your wallets out at the light end and hand them to the people at the dark end.
Demarcation somewhere between John and Mary. Right there. Anyone on this side, pay your money that way.
Yeah. I don't understand. I mean, just the whole idea of collective guilt and collective punishment. I mean, I guess if you embrace a collectivist philosophy, that's one of your logical conclusions, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Why not?
Your guilt by association. It's valid in politics.
So anyway,
these people.
So, you know, everybody.
They just need to talk about space and shut up.
Yeah. Yeah, Rena. Sorry about your therapy. Maybe if you talked about space more and shut up.
Yeah. I'll give you money if you do that. How about that?
Right.
But yep. There was a good episode of Penn & Teller's Bad Word that kind of touched on this subject, and it basically kind of boils down to, like, well, because you descended supposedly that you are entitled, or that you're entitled to monies, and then other people are required to pay monies, but there's no evidence for whether or not that you were responsible for the atrocities that made them deserve it. So if you moved here from Norway last week, and then they instituted this policy that you would have to pay just based on solely on your skin color, that's ridiculous. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous, especially if you had nothing to do with it. Like, what if your family was like one of the forefront on the northern side fighting for your freedom, right?
Yeah, what if you're a direct descendant of, like, Lysander Spooner, you know?
Yeah.
Do you have to pay the same as, you know, as a current KKK member, I guess?
Yeah. Just talk about space and shut up.
Worms.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Hey, there's some Squiskar Squig Elves from Death Clocks. And you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the, you know, the radios. And I guess I says worms now. So there you go.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. Buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom.
Three designs for Fiend Phone.
Bipcot No Gov.
A Freedom Fiends Worms button.
And Ask Me About My Worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1 1/4 inch. Now they're 1 3/4 inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
Gilda and I, too busy talking to do talk radio.
Freedom Fiends.
Jim, Jim Bab. Jim,
here we are.
Yeah. By the way, if you hear this, you have been visited by the dancing and cap skeleton of Free Enterprise. Capital gains and roads will come to you, but only if you tweet on Twitter, hashtag, am I being detained? Hashtag, please donate also works too. Right. Right. So what kind of tyranny can we laugh at today?
Well, you know, this is our final segment, right? Redemption in the third act. And, you know, we've been making fun of some of these petty little tyrants and, you know, having some laughs at their expense. But, you know, we really did, you know, we started out the show with some really good news. You know, weed is falling from the sky.
And growing itself.
It's growing itself, right? It is truly a Jetsons world we live in.
This... We have McDonald's and self-growing weed that falls from the sky.
Right. It's, you know, when I was a kid, the only thing that fell from the sky were those, like, frozen chunks of blue ice that came out of, like, airplane bathrooms. Right? This is...
Is that still a thing?
I don't know. now it's weed, okay? This is, you know, progress marches forward. So... Yeah, we have a lot to look forward to, and we're getting Christmas back, and that you know, so that's something we can all look forward to as well.
Of course, Donald Trump is going to bring back Christmas because we haven't had it in forever. I don't remember the last time we had a Christmas. Do you remember?
Well, you know, it's so long ago. You know, it's like, you know, it used to be you'd hear like Christmas carols and stuff in the stores, and now I never hear any Christmas music. I never, you know, I never see any Christmas merchandise in the stores.
Yeah, it's been like months since I've seen this. I mean, where did it go?
Yeah.
Donald Trump's going to bring it back. He's going to bring back Christmas around November, somewhere in there. We're going to start seeing Christmas stuff come back.
Make Christmas great again.
See, a lot of people, they like Thanksgiving. It's got turkey and food. Not so much. I like the Christmas. When I'm president, Santa, he's going to take my calls, and we're going to bring back Christmas, and Merry Christmas is going to be a thing. No more happy holidays. No more season's greetings. It's going to be Merry Christmas. Like, oh, you're Jewish? Merry Christmas to you, pal.
Right. Right, exactly. You know, and... You know what? And, you know, somebody, you know, who's going to pay for this, Donald, right? The government's going to pay for it. Right? He's going to look after everybody. Isn't that what he said?
He's going to outsource it.
Yeah.
It's going to cost. He'll build it. He builds stuff all the time. He'll build Christmas again. No problem. He builds 92-story skyscrapers. It's no big deal. He can handle Christmas. It's nothing. Just make a few calls. Santa, how's it going? I heard you just moved your factory to India. I can't allow that. We're going to put a 25% tax on everything, on all Christmas gifts, until you bring it back. He'll bring back Christmas, I guarantee it.
Yeah, what about the North Pole, though? That's technically, that's not inside the United States. That could be a problem, right? Is his wall going to be like tall enough to keep out, you know, Santa and his reindeer?
I hope so.
Maybe, you know,
now we can send Mr. Garrison over there. Too soon. I think it's too soon. That was very brutal.
Well, you know, maybe he'll conquer Canada and all of North America, right? Because it is called America. It's North America. That means it's ours, right? That means we're entitled to just go do what we want there.
Yeah, it's America. It's the same thing. It's the same thing. You can't disprove it, right?
Yeah.
Mexico's not America because it's not America. No, it's Mexico. Canada, it's in America or something. It's another state or something. I read it on the internet. It's basically another state, right?
Yeah.
They're not even a real country.
You know, I recently did visit Canada this summer, and when we got in, you know, we're in Canada and we're driving along, and my youngest one, she says, "Hey, how come it still looks the same?"
Oh, socialism. That's because they don't have raining pot that grows itself, or Christmas.
But they're trying.
They're really trying.
Yeah.
It was a good show.
Yes.
Yeah.
Always a good time to be with Jim Jesus.
Yep. And if you didn't have enough of me, you can always go to lalberts.com and hear more.
Oh, I'm going there. That's going to be my new podcast. That sounds pretty funny.
Worms. Experts and opinions. No, wait.
Just talk about space and shut up.
Yeah. People who are experts in things that are wrong, talk about space and shut up.